Welcome to this episode of the Satellite World Briefing Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsicker. Today we explore the transformative potential of software-defined satellites and the changes required in the ground segment to fully realize their potential. Joining us today is Greg Quiggle, Senior Vice President of Product Management at Kratos Defense and Security Solutions. Together, we'll dive into how advancements in software-defined networks are reshaping satellite services, enabling greater flexibility, higher performance, and improved economics for mobile network operators. You'll also learn how these innovations are unlocking new use cases and delivering unprecedented value to customers. I hope you enjoy our conversation today. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and speaking to me, Greg. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, great. No problem, Lucas. Looking forward to a great conversation.
Absolutely. So let's jump into the first question. So how do software-defined satellites differ from traditional satellites?
So in its simplest term, software-defined satellites just have a much higher degree of payload configurability when compared to a traditional satellite. And what that really offers the end customer is a lot more flexibility. Historically, right, you would have a team of engineers and planners within a satellite operator, and they would do their best to predict demand for a satellite to be launched. And oftentimes, right, the life of that satellite was as much as 10 or 15 years. So very difficult to actually predict demand over that elongated period of time, over the life cycle of the satellite. Nowadays, with software-defined satellites, you can actually reconfigure the payload on a regular basis, in many cases as often as every 15 minutes or so. When we compare that flexibility, right, it's always easy to think about it in that term, right? It's every 15 minutes versus every 15 years. What that really provides then beyond the flexibility itself is much better coverage. So you can actually direct the satellite to provide coverage in areas that are much high density in terms of demand. And in doing so, you can actually direct coverage away from areas that are really low density in demand. So the overall experience for the customer should be better. And over time, it should also provide much better economics for the satellite itself.
So, Greg, what's the ground segment and how does this work with the satellite in space? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. And this is a great thing to comment on as a part of Kratos, right? Our business is focused 100% on the ground segment for a variety of different vertical markets in the space industry, both a mix of commercial and government customers. So in simplest terms, the ground segment is really anything on the Earth's surface that's required for a given satellite to achieve its mission. In the case of Intelsat, in most cases, right, that mission is satellite connectivity or satellite communications. In doing that, you really need a way to be able to build a network on the ground that would allow the satellite to provide connectivity really to anywhere on the Earth's surface. If you take that down a level, I would tell you there's three primary components of the ground segment for a SATCOM network. In no particular order, you have gateways and teleports. These are essentially the access network components of a space network. Oftentimes, they'll include very large groups of equipment within a densely populated office area. They'll have a gateway antennas, and they're essentially the hubs, if you will, of those space networks. Each of those gateways are connected to the internet or a core data network. And then at the other end of the network, you have remote or user terminals. Those are typically the small terminals that you see in the hands of users of the network. So those are the three basic components. You have gateways, indoor teleports. You have a connection to a core data network, and then you have remote and user terminals.
Now, what changes need to be made on the ground for software-defined satellites to meet their potential, and what technological advancements will make this possible?
So that's where this conversation gets really interesting, Lucas. Historically, the ground segment could actually be really deployed and operated somewhat independently of the satellite itself. And the reason for that was, as I mentioned earlier, the satellite typically was the payload itself was designed at launch and really didn't change during its 10 to 15 years on orbit. So with that as a known quantity that didn't change, a satellite operator would really have the ability to design the ground network around that fixed piece of capacity. As we look forward now to software-defined satellites, as I mentioned, right, those satellites could be reconfigured as much as every 15 minutes, certainly multiple times per day. So because of that, it's really critical for the ground system to be as flexible as the satellite itself. And really, in doing so, then you could actually essentially flex or make the ground system more elastic, and it can adapt to those changes in demand and in supply and in threat, just like the satellite itself does. And in doing that, you can really then make good on the promise of flexibility that are offered by the software-defined satellites. So to make that actually work, there's a couple really key technological advancements that need to be put in place. The first is the ground system really needs to look like a large software-defined network. Historically, the ground systems for SATCOM technology are hardware-based. So just like the satellite, you deploy a piece of hardware, and it has some limited degree of configurability over its usable life. Now that the software-defined satellites are on orbit, you need the ground system to be software-defined as well. So it becomes much less about the hardware, and it becomes much more about the software. So typically, what you want to do is you want your software-defined network to leverage many of the common cloud principles that you see deployed heavily around the world, really over the last decade or so. In doing that, it allows the ground system to adapt. So if you want to take, let's say, a given coverage area for the satellite, you want to split it into two beams, or you want to split it into 10 beams, or you want to increase or decrease power within a given coverage area. What the software-defined network does is it allows you then to essentially change on the fly the configuration of the ground system to support those different configurations on the satellite. In order to do that well, you need to have a common management framework between both the ground system and the satellite. And typically they follow a flow. Well, first they'll model the demand. What's the demand that the satellite is currently experiencing? And perhaps projections about future demand. And then once it understands that, it would orchestrate the configuration on the satellite payload and on the ground system to really provide optimal connections for those customers. I mean, in some cases, that might be around service connectivity. In other cases, it might be oriented more around maximum resilience. The third key piece that you really need in order to make a ground system work well in concert with a software-defined satellite is following common standards. As you can imagine, right, modeling demand for what could be tens of thousands of users on a given satellite is a very complex task. So one way that you can simplify the degrees of freedom is to make sure that the network itself follows common standards. It's homogeneous and end-to-end in state. In doing that, it allows you to really achieve the best-in-class economies of scale for the given satellite as it changes its configuration over time.
That's great. Thanks for that, Greg. So let's shift our conversation to MNOs. So what are the key benefits of software-defined satellites for mobile network operators and other customers?
So at the end of the day, a mobile network operator, when they look at satellite as a technology, a key thing for them is to be able to expand coverage in hard to reach areas. So that might be in remote places of the Earth's surface, but you also have other niche cases like mobility, either on land or at sea, where you have a user that goes in and out of coverage, even if it's in a higher density area. So when a mobile network operator looks at satellite technology, what they really are interested in is a way to be able to expand coverage to those hard-to-reach areas. And in doing so, really allow them to offer a new class of hybrid services so that as they deploy them, a given user can leverage both terrestrial wireless coverage, but also satellite coverage without really realizing a significant change in the experience of the service. Additionally, beyond those hard to reach places, oftentimes satellite gets considered as a way to do load management or improved load management in high density areas. So if you can imagine in a metropolitan area, very large number of users are on the wireless networks, on the mobile network operator networks. Many of them are leveraging common service types. So if there's a way for you to leverage satellite connectivity as a way to overlay those networks essentially connect to many devices within one beam, it makes it much easier for the mobile network operator to manage the load in that given area. A really good example of that would be things like a video overlay or streaming overlay. I think another area that is really commonly considered when we talk about software-defined satellites and mobile network operators would be a topic of a disaster resilience, right? If a disaster hits a given area, oftentimes one of the first things to go is the cellular towers themselves, right? The terrestrial connectivity. Satellite offers a really unique way to maintain some degree of connectivity to all of their users during a period of time where the terrestrial network is in disrepair.
Can you speak to what challenges do software-defined satellite solutions address for MNOs?
I would tell you that the primary thing that the MNO is trying to get to is ubiquitous coverage, right? But they need to do that at a much lower investment. So as you look at latest terrestrial wireless technology, one of the bigger challenges that the mobile network operators have is how do I continue to expand coverage to these harder and harder to reach areas with wireless technology that only has so much of a reach? Satellite offers a really interesting solution to that case in that as you reach areas that are easy to coverage with terrestrial wireless, you can actually then kick over to satellite. One of satellite's primary benefits is it's got a much more economical approach to get to hard to reach areas. So when a mobile network operator really looks at a blended service offering, what they can do is leverage the high density areas and networks that they've already deployed. They can complement that with satellite connectivity in hard to reach places. And by doing those two things together in concert, they can make good on their challenge of ubiquitous coverage, but do so in such a way that it's a lower investment for each user.
Now, let's wrap up our conversation and look ahead to the future. So what future developments in software-defined satellite technologies should MNOs be aware of?
So I would tell you one of the bigger topics right now in the future of software-defined satellites actually has more to do with a ground technology standard, and that is 5G NTN. NTN stands for non-terrestrial networks. Really what that is that's a standard that takes advantage of the terrestrial wireless technology known as 5G and adapts it for the use over satellites at any orbit, LEO, MEO, or GEO. In doing this, it really allows you to not only take best advantage of a software-defined satellite, but do so in such the way that it ties more seamlessly with a mobile network operator's core network. So today, mobile network operators manage what are really millions of unique devices, subscribers, and service plans through what's called a 5G core. By adopting a technology like 5G NTN, it allows them to tie into all of the benefits of software-defined satellites. But they can do so in such a way that they can leverage many of the back office procedures that they have in place to manage their terrestrial networks and subscribers today. So in many ways, these benefits of software-defined satellites, better coverage, better flexibility, they're in a much better position to be able to take advantage of those if they adopt 5G NTN as a ground standard to better align with the way their terrestrial networks are run. So that's in the near term. It's a very active workflow that's in place in the industry today, and being heavily worked between not only satellite operators such as Intelsat, but also most of the mobile network operators around the world. Longer term, I think there's a really interesting play for AI. In some ways, it also leads into some of the topics that are being talked about already with 6G from a wireless standpoint. So as you can imagine, if you look at a large fleet of software-defined satellites, as Intelsat has planned, and you combine that with what can be millions of users on the ground, that process that I described earlier of trying to predict or model demand can be incredibly sophisticated. So leveraging tools looking forward like AI allows you to do that in such a way that it's much more autonomous with historical demand cycles that you've seen on the satellite. I mean, you can take into account other data sets such as weather, for example, catastrophic events, or perhaps expected use by large customer sets on that given satellite. So I think short-term NTN is certainly a really key factor in getting the most out of your software-defined satellite. Looking forward, what I'm most excited about is that lean forward into AI and a means to get the most out of every bit that the software-defined satellites can offer.
Thank you, Greg, for joining us today and sharing your expertise. And a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. This was the Satellite World Briefing Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest episodes, subscribe to our channel and follow us on LinkedIn. From GEO to LEO, MEO to you, transmitting today's out-of-the-world satellite news. Tune in next time for more celestial stories.